Welcome to another edition of Between the Bubbles. As if you listened last week, you know, we are actually short one of our usual panelists. Darren is unable to be with us as he's too busy getting ready for those nasty board exams. But that's okay because we have a wonderful guest host in the person of my friend Jared. Hey Jared, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Braden?
I'm just excited to be here, excited to have you here in my beautiful home this morning so we can talk a little bit about comics news. How was your week, my friend?
It was pretty good. I had some good stuff in my pull this week, mostly because I haven't picked up my pull in the last couple weeks, so I had a nice big fat stash this week, and it was nice.
It's always nice when you walk in and they hand you a stack of them, and you're like, oh, it's like, just makes you feel special inside.
It's like Christmas, you know.
It is. I don't really usually get that very often because I'm religious about going down every Wednesday. Of course, I have to do this podcast every weekend, so I have to have my comics every Wednesday. So, but that's how it works. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about news. The first bit of news is, I think, rather distressing, but I will explain how there are some ways that it might turn out okay. Talk is that the CW is trying to start a Wonder Woman TV show. We know that it didn't work last year when they tried to get David Kelly to do a pilot for NBC, and it was going to be like Ally McBeal meets Wonder Woman, which is horrible.
Right.
I've seen the footage. I've read the script. It was horrendous. I'm glad that it crashed. I thought Adrian Palicki looked good as Wonder Woman. Like, it was a good fit in terms of the look, but in terms of the writing, it was horrendous. But anyway, here's the idea for the new show on the CW. Basically, we're talking a Smallville version of Wonder Woman. So before the bracers, before the tiara, before the lasso of truth, basically before anything that matters. So I don't know how I feel about it.
And so are we going to... Have they said anything about cameos from other DC characters? Any Batman, any Superman?
Possibly. They usually do... I mean, there was plenty of cameos in the Smallville show. You know, there was a Green Arrow guy. There was a Cyborg guy. There was an Aquaman guy. And so it's entirely possible that there may be that. Alan Heinberg is the person who's writing the script for a pilot, and he has worked on such melodramatic nonsense as Grey's Anatomy, but he also wrote a run on the Young Avengers comic book that was really great. So, cautious optimism. Also, there's talk about it focusing on her time with the Amazons.
Right.
And let's be straight, listeners. You all know how I feel about the Amazons. If they did a show where all of the lead characters were female, and it was just all about the Amazons, I'd watch that crap in an instant.
I'd probably watch it.
I would be all over that, because we need more diverse and strong representations of women in popular media. Now, if it's her and a bunch of dudes in the cast, then my cautious optimism will turn into trepidation. But as of now, I guess I'll say cautiously optimistic that it might not suck. I guess we'll see how the new show Arrow, which is the Green Arrow show, turns out when it premieres in a few weeks here. I'll watch it. I'll see how it goes, but we'll see where we go from there. All right. So what else is happening this week?
Apparently, a couple who've been together for 20 years used Dragon Con as an opportunity to get married in cosplay fashion.
Oh, precious.
It is a little bit precious and a little bit, well, weird. But anyway, they're reenacting the cover of the Astonishing X-Men number 51 when Northstar married his boyfriend, Kyle. All of the other Marvel cosplayers came out and witnessed the event, and there were easily over 200 of them, apparently.
It's a pretty amazing picture, because there's these huge set of bleachers just filled with these dudes and ladies in their cosplay outfits. And some of them are just ridiculous. Like, some people dressed up as Mini-Mates versions of so they've got, like, blocky parts and blocky heads. And they're all just sitting on these huge bleachers watching these two dudes in bad wigs get married. It was... I watched the ceremony. They have it on YouTube. It's pretty cute. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know.
For people who are really into geeky things, you know, what better way to get married than reenacting the most recent cute wedding in comic books?
Fair enough.
I don't know.
I'm all for cosplay. I'm all for marriage. Mixing them. I don't know. I don't know that I could do it, but it's
I know awesome. I couldn't. I know that I could never do such a thing. But, you know, As you listeners know, we're big supporters of gay marriage here Between the Bubbles, and so we say, go for it, Kyle and Northstar. I hope that you last longer than you. I am sure that your counterparts in the comic books will last, because no marriage in comic books ever lasts, except for Sue Storm and Mr. Fantastic, which we talked about last week, and they suck, and screw them. Anyway, let's talk a little bit more about some Marvel Now teasers. If you'll remember, last month there were a lot of teasers that were pretty straightforward and pretty obvious as to what those teasers were. You know, you see a word all in green that says indestructible. It's no question that's the Incredible Hulk. You see, you know, red and gold and it says invincible. You know it's Iron Man. You know, right. You see blue and it says soldier. This is clearly Captain America. You see red and it says chimichangas. You know it's Deadpool because he loves chimichangas. This new set of teasers for the books that are starting in December, they're not quite so straightforward. We've got the word lightning with the word with Daniel Way and Steve Dillon attached to it. Maybe the Thunderbolts are coming back?
Could. I don't know.
Could be. Wanted. This is the word wanted with Dennis Hopeless. Great last name, by the way. Hopeless. Dennis Hopeless and Salvador La Roca. And nobody really knows what this one's going to be. Because word was Salvador La Roca has been doing Invincible Iron Man for the last 5 years with Matt Fraction. Word on the street was that he was going to be doing, during Marvel Now, he was going to be doing a Guardians of the Galaxy book with Brian Michael Bendis.
Interesting.
But this is Wanted with Dennis Hopeless. There are rumors that it might still be Guardians of the Galaxy with a different writer, but what does Wanted have to do with the Guardians of the Galaxy? We'll see when they start giving us more information. There's the word Killers with Sam Humphries and Ron Garney attached. Nobody has any idea what this is. Hmm. I have scoured the entire interwebs. There's plenty of random, like, oh, it could be this, could be this. There's nothing definitive. No one has any idea what this book is going to be. And then the last one is just the word Survive with, again, Dennis Hopeless, awesome name, and Kev Walker. And this is rumored to maybe be a relaunch of the Secret Avengers, but again, which would no be one's cool. very sure. That Secret Avengers cool. is a good book.
Yeah, that would be neat.
So it would be interesting if it was able to relaunch. But so that is what they're teasing for December. I don't know if any of them sound like books I'll be picking up, or even what they really are. That Killers one is anybody's guess.
So, time will tell.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out in the next few weeks. All right. Give us our last news story for the day.
Our last news story for the day. There is no actual town in Kansas named Smallville, but there's a couple of guys down there that think their town should be called Smallville. Chris Wheatwick and Casey McNeely are trying to start a campaign to rename their town of Hutchinson, which is actually a very real town, to the name of Smallville.
Huh. I mean, I guess that's cute, but...
I don't know how realistic that dream is right there. I don't know.
I don't know. It depends on whether or not they can get the whole town behind them. Do you remember when that one town changed their name to Google?
Right.
So, I mean, enough money and a small town's going to change their name. But I don't know if DC wants to fund such a thing.
I don't know. Once again, time will tell. It would be interesting. It would be cool. But
I mean, because isn't there... I think there's at least one or two cities named Metropolis. Well, not cities. They're small towns, but they're named Metropolis.
Right.
But I don't know. That, for anything, that's why I've always preferred the Marvel Universe over the DC Universe. They're all real cities. There's no Central City. There's no Gotham City. It's New York.
Right.
And Chicago. And Detroit. Yeah, Great Lakes Avengers, friends. Squirrel Girl for the win. Anyway, that's the news for this week. Not much, but, you know, it was an interesting week. So stay tuned, and we'll have some reviews, and then we'll have a very special feature section. All right, welcome to the review section. Now, this week we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. As you know, Darren's not here, but he was kind enough to record his reviews in a quick little audio segment that we'll put in right here so that you can hear what he read this week, what he thought about it. Just a quick sum up and hello from our dear friend Darren. So let's hear it, Darren. What did you think about comics this week?
Hey, podcast listeners. This is Darren. Even though I am not physically in the presence of Braden and Jared, which is very unfortunate, I can still give you my reviews, thank goodness, to modern day technology. But before we start, I need to address something very, very, very important. This weekend, and I'm recording this on September 8th, so I don't know when you're going to listen to it, but it doesn't matter, because on this weekend of September 8th, 2012, 20 years ago, we had the debut of one of the most iconic and influential, not even just cartoons, but TV shows ever made in Batman the Animated Series. This TV show was so influential on comic books, on launching the DC Animated Universe, which we all know and love, which gave us Superman the Animated Series, it gave us Justice League, Justice League Unlimited, which are all great shows in their own right, and it redefined the Riddler, redefined Mr. Freeze, gave us Harley Quinn, which who doesn't love her, and it gave us the most iconic, and I'd have to say the best Batman in Kevin Conroy. Better than Christian Bale, better than Michael Keaton, Kevin Conroy is Batman. And whenever people think of Batman, honestly, the first Batman image that comes to mind is the Batman the Animated Series version. You owe yourself, and you owe it to this TV show, to as soon as you're done with the podcast, to go online, find an episode, and watch it. Because if you haven't seen it in a long time, you'll fall in love with it again. And it'll just give you a great reminder of what makes this show so great. Go watch it now. Anyway, well, after the podcast. Wait till the podcast is done, and then go online and watch it, because you deserve it to yourself, and you owe it to yourself. It's that great. Anyway, let's get started real quick on my reviews. I'm just going to be real quick. I don't want to take too much time away from Brayden and Jared, but let's get started on DC. DC, the big September month of issue zeros. There's tons and tons of them that came out this week. I got a lot of them. And let's get started with the Action Comics. Now, before I review Action Comics, I need to quickly say, give you a little physiology and anatomy and brain neurology lesson here, because it'll help further explain why I love this issue and why I'm going to give and adore it. In our brain, we have cells called mirror cells. And what they do is they help us put ourselves in other people's shoes. In the sense, why do people love sports so much? And why do they go crazy when their team scores a touchdown? Because they can put themselves in that touchdown scoring person's body and feel what they think they're feeling at the moment. It's the same way and same reason why we love to read books, why we love comic books, why we love movies, video games, because we can put ourselves in other people's shoes. And this is why I give that preface, because Action Comics pays homage to why people love Superman. Why I personally love Superman is Superman makes me want to be better. He makes me want to stand up for people who can't stand up for themselves. He makes me want to stand up for myself. And he makes me want to treat others how they deserve to be treated. And basically just wants me to be good. And how it pays homage to that, what Grant Morrison does, is there's a little boy, still Superman's cape, and with that, when he puts on the cape, he feels like a superhero. And he stands up to an abusive boyfriend of, I don't know if it's his mom or if it's his friend's mom, I don't know if they're brothers or not or just friends, but still, he does that, and he knows that he'll be protected, and he knows that he can do the right thing, and the cape empowers him, and that's what Superman does, I feel like, to those who love his comics, and it embodies everything that I love about Superman. Action Comics is a total adore it. The artwork by Ben Oliver was fantastic. It was the best I've ever seen in Action Comics, and total adore it. Go pick this up, please. You owe it to yourself. Go pick it up. Animal Man. Moving on, Animal Man, I'm going to give an explore. Brayden's going to share this sentiment a lot, knowing his review. It's fun as a new reader and as someone new to Animal Man to see his origin, but if you're an old reader, you're going to be kind of bored out of your mind and honestly feel like, been there, done that. So I'm going to give an explore it, but it was good. Detective Comics, I know this has been getting a lot of praise online and reviews. I'm going to have to give a total ignore it. It's just like Animal Man. We already know that Batman went to a ninja dojo in the Himalayas to learn the martial arts and how to be a ninja and a better fighter. It just wasn't interesting. I didn't like the writing by Greg Hurwitz. The characters were very generic and bland, and the big reveal at the end wasn't that big of a reveal. I will say this, though. The ending story by James Tynion IV was really, really good. If that was its own issue, I would have given it a door. And I wish that was the main focus. I think it would have been more interesting. But instead, we're getting something that we've already explored many times and been there, done that. And but for new readers who aren't into Batman, maybe they'd enjoy it and be fun. But I'm going to give it, ignore it. Earth 2, I know Brayden will go into this one. So I'm going to give you my thoughts. I'm going to give a total ignore it. The artwork, I didn't like at all. As well as we already got a story about the Trinity fighting Darkseid. Why are we getting another one? Yes, we get another introduction with Mr. Terrific, who is not the one that we know of now. It was the Silver Age or Golden Age one that they introduced into Earth 2. Total ignore it. The artwork was really bad. I really didn't like it. Very disappointing. Green Lantern, on the other hand, Simon Baz is a great addition to the Green Lantern Corps. It's fun to have more diversity in comics, especially the Arab American. So, it is an origin story, though. It is an origin story for Simon Baz. Go pick it up now. I'd actually recommend to test out the Third Army crossover. You don't have to get the Green Lantern Corps, Red Lantern, or Green Lantern New Guardians, but definitely pick up Green Lantern. The annual was fantastic. Green Lantern issue 0 was just continuation of that. Really, do yourself a favor. Great, great issue. Total adore it. Phantom Stranger, written by Dan Didio. This was, and same with Earth 2, these were the two issues that I was looking forward to the most this week that Bray and I talked about in our Pull-List podcast episode. This was a total letdown. This was one of the worst comics I picked up this week, and really one of the worst ones I picked up in a long time. Phantom Stranger is not interesting, but he could be. And I forgot to say that I forgot about this. He was revealed to be Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus Christ in the Bible for 30 pieces of silver in the free Comic Book Day DC issue. They don't really explore anything more into that in this Phantom Stranger issue 0. There's nothing new. It doesn't give you new insight into Pandora or any of that whole side of what's going to happen in Justice League later on. Waste of your $3. Total ignore it. Big fat red stamp of Darren disapproval. I was really upset after reading it because I was really excited for what was going to happen and any new reveals, and it was a big letdown. Moving on, last to DC's World's Finest. I want to give this a total adore it. This is what I wanted Earth 2 to be. It gives more insight, really, into when Kara and Helena Wayne become Power Girl and Robin. So, who doesn't love that? I really enjoyed it. The artwork was great. So, it was fun to see. It was fun to see them first work together and what brought them together. Go pick it up. It was a fun issue. Now, moving on to IDW, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Micro Series Issue 8 with Fugitoid. If you have been following the series from the get-go, this issue will make sense. If you haven't, like me, who kind of started later, you won't really know what's going on. So I'm going to even explore it. It was a fun issue, but if you aren't following the series, it's going to be a waste of your $4. So definitely, definitely explore it. I would say it's only necessary for people who have been following the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles regular series from the get-go. But the artwork was fun. And the writing was fun, so it was good. Now moving on to Hawkeye. I know Brayden's going to just rave about this issue, and so I don't want to take away time from that, but I personally love this issue as well. It made me love Clint even more, and I love his interaction with Kate Bishop. And it's nice to see Clint in his own element when he's not feeling inferior to metahumans, but when he is working with people who are like him, or just regular people who just have a really great skill. So that was fun to see. It was better than issue 1, which I didn't think it could be, but Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue DeConnick, they are the comic book couple right now. They are both just writing great stuff. So go pick up Hawkeye. Basically, you have to. It is a must, especially for Marvel. Moving on last to Valiant, Archer and Armstrong. I know Brayden really liked this issue. I really didn't. I'm going to go and explore it. The premise is really cool. It's all dealing with fun conspiracies and different organizations that control the world, but I'm just not interested in the characters at all. And that's what I come to comics and books and movies for, is the characters. If you don't love the characters, then why are you spending money on it? So, I don't know. I'm going to give it an explore it, but I was a little disappointed. Last is Bloodshot. I'm going to give this issue an explore it as well. It is the best issue in the arc so far, and I'd have to say that Bloodshot is slowly, for me, turning into the best comic of Valiant. it's getting better and better with each issue, and Bloodshot is getting more interesting, and you're starting to feel a lot more sympathy for what he's been through and how the government has really just manipulated this guy. So, and I don't know if he was a regular human at first or if they just created him that way. It makes it seem like he was a regular human and they basically turned into a government project, but it was a fun issue. Anyway, so those are my reviews. And one last thing, I was going to say this with Action Comics and I totally forgot, but just talking about how Superman is a great character and gets too much flack than he deserves, I feel like, because writers don't write him well. Another thing is Superman Returns I watched last night after my long, long board, chiropractic board review classes. I didn't get done until about 10:30. So I went home and just went to the bench and watched Superman Returns. And I've been watching Superman 1 and Superman 2, the Donner Cut. And I will say this, Superman Returns went from a big disappointment for me to now be one of my favorite movies. If you watch Superman 1 and Superman 2, the Donner Cut, and you treat those three movies with Superman Returns like a trilogy, I think your initial reaction to Superman Returns might change. As I said, it is a great character piece of Superman. It's not an action movie. It is a character piece of who he embodies and what he embodies and how people affect him and how he affects other people. I just think that's important because I hate that one of my favorite characters gets so much flack for being boring, because he's not. Superman is amazing. But anyway, so back to Braden and Jared. Miss you guys. Have fun.
Wow, I really miss that guy. I wish he was here this week. But, you know, it was okay. We went out to dinner last night. It was really nice to see him. I went and saw his local comic store. It's this cute little place inside a house. They've got a lot of collectibles and stuff. It's pretty cute. Plus, the old lady working there, I guess, is the mom of the owner. It was pretty endearing. Anyway, I have a ton to get through this week, some of which are things that I share with Darren, some of which are things that only I'm reviewing. But first off, he does want to say that he forgot to review Swamp Thing in his section, but that his feelings about Swamp Thing are almost identical to his feelings about Animal Man. So if you wonder how Darren felt about Swamp Thing, that's it, just like Animal Man. So anyway, there's your answer. So if anybody wanted to know, problem solved. All right, I have a ton to get through this week. First off, and as always, for those of you who may not have heard it and who didn't understand in the first part, we do it alphabetically by publisher and then by title. Adore it means we love it. Explore it means it's pretty okay. Ignore it means, obviously, don't bother. First off is an Avatar book, which I'd never bought one by Avatar Press before. It's a book called Fashion Beast, which is actually an old Alan Moore book that was written back in the height of his popularity and the height of his ability at writing, you know, late 80s, early 90s, back when everybody knew who Alan Moore was and all that kind of stuff. It was originally a story that was written by Alan Moore and Malcolm McLaren. And it's been adapted by Anthony Johnson into a sequential thing, and the art is by Facundo Percio. Basically, it's like a weird retelling of Beauty and the Beast with transvestism, and I don't know what to make of it yet. It's an interesting book in terms of the way that it looks, and you know, it's an Alan Moore classic from the olden days. Even if it never did make it to print or anything, it is a limited series. I don't know. Maybe I'll keep buying it. I don't know. You know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. The first issue was interesting, but it wasn't great. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what even to say about it. Maybe give it an explore it, I guess. Maybe. That's how I feel about it. Okay, next up, I have another Boom book, which I actually bought. The first four issues of this week. Issue 4 came out last week. It's Higher Earth. Conceptually, this book is really, really tight. What it is the idea of multiverses, you know, on all these different versions of the Earth and all these different universes, and you can traverse between the different universes in this multiverse, and some of them are much more powerful than others. Some of them are subjugated by others. It's a really interesting story about class struggle, and there was a big twist at the end of book four, which I saw coming a mile away, but ultimately it's pretty to look at. It's interesting. And I'm going to keep reading it for the foreseeable future. It's a cool kind of sci-fi dystopian universe sort of thing. So if you're into that, you know, give this book a try. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And it was kind of fun. So it's got a cool redheaded female protagonist. So who uses swords to chop up dinosaurs. So is there any complaining about this? Really? Is there anything to complain about? Anyway, I rather enjoyed it so far. I give it an explore it. If you like sci-fi dystopian stuff, check it out. Next up, let's talk some DC stuff. For DC, I read a total of 5 comics this week, some of which were really good, some of which were just okay. Animal Man Zero is basically the telling of how Animal Man got his powers, with slight variations from what we've seen in the past. Initially, Buddy Baker got his powers from aliens, but that's been kind of retconned out as the Red using aliens as a way to explain why, or to not overwhelm Buddy with ideas. And it sets forward here the idea that Buddy is just supposed to be the protector of his daughter, who is the true avatar of the Red. It was a decent issue. I liked the way Lemire writes it, but it wasn't an essential issue. And this is one of those ones where you didn't really need a Zero issue, to be perfectly honest. It's good, but it's not great. But yeah, I would give it an explore it. I really like that, at least in the past, little Cliff doesn't have a nasty mullet, so hopefully he'll lose the nasty mullet here soon in the regular present-day comics. But anyway, yeah, it was pretty solid. It was fun just to get to know Buddy a little bit better and to see Anton Arcane's machinations as far back as decades and even centuries ago. Because Anton Arcane's a pretty bad guy. But anyway, I'd give it an explore it. Let's talk Earth 2. Holy crap, was I disappointed in this book. For the very things that you just heard Darren complain about. It just doesn't work conceptually. It doesn't work from a narrative standpoint. It doesn't work from an art standpoint. Tomas Giorello is the one who's doing the art. And it doesn't... It's not Nicholas Scott. That's what I missed more than anything this week. It wasn't Nicola Scott doing the art, and I just don't care about anyone else. She's better than everyone else at doing the art for this book. It didn't work for me. Mr. Terrific is a stupid character in any of the multiverses, and this, like Hero 08 or whatever his name is in Earth 2 is even stupider than normal Mr. Terrific. Anyway, Mr. 8, that's his name. I am interested to see who the one... He does mention that there were 8 superheroes. There was the Trinity. There was Robin, Catwoman, Supergirl, who we'll talk about when we talk about World's Finest, those 3. There was Mr. 8. And then there was one, he says, one who I'll refrain from mentioning now for reasons that all who know this world and this war will understand. Well... I don't know this world or this war, James Robinson, so freaking tell me already. I was super disappointed in this one. I thought that it wasted any possibility of being awesome. And it just... I wanted so much more from this book this month, and it just didn't do it. I finally felt like in the last issue, in issue 4, Earth 2 finally felt like it mattered, and this didn't feel like it mattered at all. So ignore it. Ignore the heck out of it. Let's talk Green Lantern. I didn't buy this book, actually. Darren loaned it to me when I went out to dinner with him last night, because I expressed interest in what he thought of it. And so he said, I just stuck it in the bag. If you want to read it, you can read it. Because for those of you who don't know, when we talk about Swamp Thing, I didn't get my copy of Swamp Thing this week, and I'll talk about why in just a moment. But so he loaned me that and Green Lantern so that I could read it. And also Bloodshot. He bought me a copy of Bloodshot. Again, we'll talk about those when we get to him. Green Lantern was actually really solid. I think that Simon Baz is an interesting character. He comes from a very different background from any of the other Green Lanterns of Earth. I feel like he's got a big bone to pick. And that's going to make him a very interesting character, I think, going forward. I'm very eager to hear what Darren has to say about Simon Baz going forward. Because I don't think that I'm going to start buying this book, because I just don't have I don't have that extra $3. There are plenty of other things that I'd rather check out while Darren buys Green Lantern. Because we've decided, basically, that Darren's going to continue buying more DC and Marvel stuff as I continue to branch out and do more of the independent comics. So this is the $3 every month that I could spend on an indie comic. But he'll keep buying it, and I haven't had a chance to listen to his review for it yet, but I'm going to give it an explore it. I thought Simon Baz is an interesting character. There's a lot of really interesting political ramifications in this issue, and it was really solid. I felt like the art worked. I felt like he was a compelling character, and apparently there might be something wrong with his ring. So I'm curious to see what happens to Simon Baz and where Green Lantern as a character and as a subset, an entire universe of the DC universe goes from here, and what kind of ramifications this has for the future. Okay, so let's talk about Swamp Thing. I didn't get my copy of Swamp Thing this week. You might remember back in July that the same thing occurred, that we didn't get our copies of Swamp Thing. It's not because this time because of a printing issue like it was last time. Last time, that was why I couldn't talk about it when Darren talked about it. This time, stupid Diamond Distribution just didn't put Swamp Thing in the box of comics for my local comic store. So they popped it open, and they started sorting everything out, and there was no issues of Swamp Thing. Just because there are a bunch of slackers who work for Diamond, apparently, and they just weren't careful about making sure that all the right books got in the right spot. So luckily, Darren loaned me his copy, but I'll get my hard copy next week. And again, I felt very similar to about Swamp Thing as I did about Animal Man. It was kind of cool to see his origin and what happened to him. However, there was still no background with Abigail Arcane. How he knows Abigail, what his relationship with that is with Abigail. You delve a lot deeper into Anton Arcane in Swamp Thing, which was interesting, but it was the Swamp Thing issue zero, not Anton Arcane issue zero, which would have been a fine comic and I would have bought it anyway, but I wanted more Swamp Thing. I wanted more Alec Holland. I wanted to come to know him better, and if anything, that's what disappointed me, is that I didn't get to see him as a character as much as I'd hoped I would. But I'm still going to give it an explore it. It wasn't a great issue, and again, I don't want this week or this month off before I get back to Rot World. That's all I care about with these characters. I don't care about their origins right now. And that is why the zero issue month fails conceptually for me, is because I think putting out zero issues was a good idea, but it should have been staggered throughout a year whenever there was a break in an arc. You know, 20 of the books this month could have done it, and 20 of the books next month could have done it. But I felt like there was a better way to do it. But anyway, I just don't like the lack of narrative steam it gets. But our next zero issue actually fits in the narrative scheme of things and was easily the best of the zero issues I read this month, or this week. It's World's Finest, Huntress, and Power Girl. This is all set in the past, and it's all Kevin Maguire's art, just like I asked for, and it was exactly that. It was better looking, it was more dynamic. And it was just, it was a fun and a heartbreaking issue in a lot of respects. It was great to see Soup's old costume, or something closer to Soup's old costume, because I don't like the new collared costume that he wears in Earth Prime. Earth 2, he has a much better costume. Also, I felt like it had a good narrative flow to it. I felt like this is easily Levitz's best issue on the book so far. You come to see how Supergirl and Robin met and why they would be close. You also, there's some heartbreaking moments with poor Robin. You see Helena kind of learn to be a superhero thanks to her mother, Catwoman, who is just, the few scenes that she's in, she's big and she's dynamic and she's outspoken, and it's great. But you do also see her tragic demise later on, and it's really sad. But you see the two become very good friends, and you understand why they're good friends, and it works. It works really well. This is by far the best of the Zero issues so far, and it once again gives me a little bit of hope that things might turn out okay in the long run for World's Finest. It's still not perfect, but it was a pretty solid issue. So I'm going to give it an explore it still, but it was by far the best one of the ones I read this week. But anyway, long story short, a lot of them were kind of disappointing. A lot of what I read this week was kind of disappointing. But that's okay. It happens. My Marvel pull list was actually quite entertaining, with the exception of the first one. I bought Amazing Spider-Man 693, which is a continuation of the Alpha storyline. I have to admit, I still think that Humberto Ramos's pencils are awesome. I feel like his dynamic art works really, really well for Spider-Man and for Alpha as a character. I'm still not quite sure what Dan Slott's doing here, but I don't know. I want to see something interesting happen to Spider-Man and with Spider-Man and Peter Parker. Alpha gives the potential for something really interesting to happen. Whether or not it'll all pay out, I'm not quite sure. But I can hope. I can really, really hope. I don't know. I'm still going to give it an explore it, though. It wasn't a great issue. It was just okay. And I want there to be something interesting with Alpha, but I'm afraid it's just going to fizzle and it's just going to be pointless. But we'll see what happens next time. We will definitely see what happens. Anyway, explore it. It was just okay. However, now let's talk about the best comic that came out this week. By far, my favorite issue of anything to come out this week, Hawkeye issue 2. It was the thing I was most excited about in our pull list episode, and it panned out wonderfully. This book is a wonder to behold. It is so good looking. It is so dynamic. It's so unlike anything else that Marvel's putting out. This is Fraction and Aja at their very best. And I also have to throw a big props out to Matt Hollingsworth, who's doing the coloring. This whole issue and the whole book so far has been a study of purples. There have been so many shades of purple throughout the book, and it's worked really well because of it. It's gorgeous to look at. This was a better issue than the first issue. I just loved everything about it. It captured Clint Barton perfectly. And it had Kate Bishop in here. Kate Bishop is amazing. I love the two Hawkeyes. I love the idea of them teaming up and working together. They're both just dynamic, fascinating characters. And it's good for Hawkeye to finally be getting his due. And everything about this book is great. The art is phenomenal. The panel layout is astonishing. There's so much going on every page. It's just wonderful to behold. It's just... Please continue, Fraction and Aja. Please continue. Because this book kicks butt. It's amazing. Anyway, please continue giving me this. Adore it. Best book of the week. Best book of the week. No questions asked. Second best book of the week. Second best book of the week. Punisher. Continuing off of last week's Assassination. This is by far the most, like, consistently violent and edge-of-the-seat issue of Punisher so far, because there have been moments of violence in moments of calm all throughout the other issues. This one is almost constant violence. They go in for this assassination attempt, and they're basically trapped in the building. The cops think that they are murdering everyone in the building. It's actually one of the bad guys who is doing so, trying to frame them with it. And you're just starting to see the ramifications for the violence that Punisher and his current partner, Rachel Cole Alves, you're starting to see the ramifications for their behavior. And it's just getting messier and messier. And I'm really interested to see where Ruka goes in the next few weeks as he wraps up his run on this book. with the Warzone crossover thing in October. Yeah, it was solid. I'm sad to see him go, because I would put it on my pull list if he weren't leaving. I don't know who's going to be writing it after Marvel now. The teasers can only give me so much information. I haven't seen anyone that screams Punisher at me yet. We'll see what happens. This was a really solid issue. I adored it. You should all be buying Punisher. If not, definitely pick up the trades when Rika's run ends up in the trades, as it inevitably will. Now let's talk about the other comic I loved this week. Ultimate Comics All-New Spider-Man, Brian Michael Bendis at his best once again. This, you got to love an issue that starts with a half-page picture of Gwen Stacy screaming, "Captain America, you are a jerk." You know you're off to a good start that way, because that has often been the problem with the ultimate version of Captain America. He is kind of a jerk, and he still feels so responsible for Peter Parker's death that he refuses to let Miles Morales be Spider-Man. But that's not going to stop Miles. This issue, again, building off of what we've seen in Spider-Man, this issue is when Aunt May gives Miles the web shooters. And there are a great few pages where Miles is trying web-slinging for the very first time, and he's not quite sure what he's doing, and he's trying to figure out, and it's just funny. As he teaches that four-page series where he teaches himself how to web-swing is pretty memorable. The art is phenomenal. David Marquez is doing wonderful work. There's a scene when he very first shoots the web shooter, and the webs are in the shape of the word thwp, which is the, you know, the sound that it's always written whenever he shoots his web shooters, that thwp sound. And so to see it out of the webbing as he shoots into the sky was just astonishing. It was extremely good looking. It was a compelling side story to what's going on in Defied We Fall, which I kind of wish I was following so I knew more of what was going on. But it ends with Captain America finally deciding that, you know, this kid's okay, but he needs some training still. And I loved the interplay between the two. And Miles Morales is quickly becoming one of my favorite characters in comics. He's just a solid, solid character. He's a lot of fun. Okay, just three more to go, kids. I know I'm talking a lot, but I read a lot of comics this week. Next up, we've got from Top Cow, we've got Think Tank Issue 2. If you'll remember, I was kind of in the minority in not really caring for Issue 1 that much, but Issue 2 was a lot better off. I felt it was much more solid than Issue 1 was. I felt like it built off the narrative impulses that were in the last couple pages of Issue 1, but it's still just a good series. It's not a great series. It's beautiful to look at. It really is. Again, it's done in blacks and whites, and Rahsaan Ekedel is doing the art, and it's great to look at. But I'm still not quite sold on the book, but it's sure interesting, and I like to see the conscience of someone who creates weapons of mass destruction. Anyway, I'll give it an explore it. I'm interested to see where they go in the next few issues. I'm going to keep picking it up, but it's still not a great book. It's just a good book. I'll give it an explore. And last up, we have two books from Valiant. Archer and Armstrong number 2 and Bloodshot number 3. If you listened to our Valiant podcast a couple of weeks ago, you know that I've been enjoying both of these books, and these, at least the first couple issues of them, and these continue, I think, the narrative strength of both of these series. Archer and Armstrong has a lot of grit and a lot of funny parts to it, and I enjoy the humor in it, and I'm excited to see more of that humor as it goes on and becomes kind of a funny buddy series, while still having lots of violence, lots of excitement, all that kind of stuff. It's a really solid book. I'm not like loving them, but I'm enjoying them, and I'm glad I'm picking them up, and I'd give it an explore it. Bloodshot 3, we again see Bloodshot trying to sort out who he is, what his origin is like, all that kind of stuff, and he just isn't quite there yet. But it's a solid series. Dwayne Sprzedzinski is doing good work on it. And I'm excited that I'm picking up all of these Valiant books, and I'm going to keep picking them up for the foreseeable future. This, in Bloodshot, the storyline advances. It ends with a big cliffhanger that I'm excited to see resolved next month, but I'm going to give it an explore it as well. So if you aren't reading the Valiant books, hurry and go pick them up before your store runs out of them. I actually wasn't able to get my hands on a copy of Bloodshot 3 from my store this week. They sold out entirely. So Darren was kind enough to buy a copy at his store for me, but I'm definitely going to add them all to my pull list so that I can make sure that I'm continuing to pick up the books, because I think that they're worth picking up, and I feel like it's been a good return on my investment to buy the Valiant books. So anyway, those are my reviews for this week. I know it was a lot, but that's what happens when, especially when Darren's not here to temper me and to keep me a little more grounded in what I'm saying. But anyway, I'm glad that you guys could listen to this episode. We're grateful for your patronage. We're grateful that you listen to us. Please let us know what you think of the podcast on Twitter, on Facebook. Write us an email at talk@betweenthebubbles.com, or you can write me an email, Braden, Braeden, @betweenthebubbles.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'm sure Darren would as well, Darin, @betweenthebubbles.com, if you want to talk to him. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Tell your friends about us. We're going to hopefully start going to some conventions as our schedules lighten up a little bit, especially as Darren finishes this series of exams that he's got. We should hopefully be getting out there and getting to know some people face-to-face. Let us know what conventions you'll be at. Maybe we'll be at them as well. Hopefully we can run into you. And again, tell your friends about us. And if any of you would like to be on the show, by all means, email us, let us know. We would love to interview you either here in studio, whatever we call this, at the Grape Escape, or we could do it over Skype. We would love to talk to you. We'd love to get to know you. We'd love to hear what you love about comics and what you're reading. So anyway, we were originally going to end this episode with a feature about Watchmen and Before the Watchmen that I recorded earlier today with Jared. You heard him in the news section, but it was long enough and interesting enough that we want to make it a separate episode. So we're just going to wrap the episode up here. As always, enjoy your week and happy reading. Hey, Between the Bubbles is a production of Almost Midnight Media and is released under a Creative Commons license.